All right. And children, you may go. I think this is Sister Maggie, and at this time, and have a children's time together. And I'd like to invite you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 21. It's the last chapter of John. John chapter 21. And we're going to go ahead and read that together. If you have an NIV, this will sound familiar. You're welcome to follow along. If you have another translation, that's fine too. All right, here we go. John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, and we pray for your anointing, the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we give you the praise for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so back to verse 21 in verse 1. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. And so we think, after what? So Jesus had been on the cross, he was crucified, and then he was resurrected on the third day. And some of you might remember the story about how he appeared to Mary, you know, at the tomb. And she ran and told the disciples. And there was, again, a time when Jesus appeared to the disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus appears right in the midst of the room. It's a Sunday morning, and the disciples were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. This is in John 20, 19 to 23. And Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be to you." And then later, Jesus appears to his disciples a week from there, and in John 20, 26 to 29. And this time, Thomas was there. And Jesus came and stood among them again, and he said, "Peace be with you." I think, remember at the cross when all the disciples kind of fled and went away, and they were kind of scared because they thought Jesus was really going to be a king, an earthly king, and because he was crucified, they really weren't expecting that kind of a kingdom. They weren't quite there yet. They didn't realize that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. And so they were kind of in fear and trembling, and Jesus was resurrected, and that was great, and they were able to see him, and he came, and he said, "Peace to you." And that's a really neat thing to remember. So afterwards, when Jesus appeared again to his disciples, I think that's what it's talking about. This is another time that Jesus comes to the disciples. It says that they were by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened that Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were there. And Simon Peter says, "You know, I'm just going to go out. I'm going to go out fishing, guys." And they say, "Well, okay, we're going to come along." And, you know, these guys had been through quite a lot together. They had been with Jesus, and they had seen his miracles and all. And so now here they were. And I'm sure their emotions had gone through so much. And Peter was one of those kind of really gung-ho type personalities where he was always really ready to do and to go and to, you know, so when Jesus said something, he was ready to just jump right in. And now I'm wondering, you know, he said, "You know, I'm going to go out fishing, guys." And I'm thinking maybe in Peter's mind, maybe he's thinking back to the time when Jesus first called him. Jesus appeared to Peter, Peter was with James and John, and they were fishermen by trade. They were in their fishing boats, and so Jesus comes to them, and this is the very first time that Peter meets Jesus. It's recorded in the Bible in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and these guys have been out fishing, and they haven't caught anything, and Jesus comes up to them and says, "You know, throw your nets out, cast your nets out." And Peter says, "Lord, I've been fishing all night and I haven't caught anything. But because you said so, I'm going to let down my nets." And when Peter followed Jesus' direction, the nets became so full that they began to break. They had so many fish. And it says that their boats were about to sink. And Peter is so astonished at the miracle that happened right here that he falls down at Jesus' feet and he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus tells Peter, "Don't be afraid." He tells him, "From now on, you're going to catch men, not just fish." And he's saying that because he means that Peter is going to be used to help when it's talking about catching men. It's another way of saying that Jesus is going to help him proclaim the gospel and tell others about Jesus so that men can come to know him and be saved. You know, so maybe Peter was thinking about that first time. Okay, you know, the first time I went out fishing, maybe I should just try going out fishing again. You know, this was my livelihood. Now Jesus isn't always with us like he was before. And I don't know, maybe he was thought about the first time Jesus came to him. Or maybe Peter was thinking about the time in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, when Jesus called the 12 disciples together. And he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he commissioned them to go out and preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So they went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing the sick. Jesus had empowered them. Maybe Peter was thinking about the time that Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Other people were saying things about Jesus and who they thought he was. But Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you think that I am?" And Peter responds in Luke 9, 20 and says, "You are the Christ of God." And he recognizes that Jesus is the Christ. Others didn't know who Jesus was, but Peter was able to say it. Or maybe Peter was thinking back in his mind to a time when there was Jesus asked him to go up into the mountains, Peter, James, and John, these three men. And they went up to the mountain with him, and these guys were kind of sleepy when they got to the top of the mountain, and when they came fully awake, they saw Jesus' glory, and they saw two men standing with them, and Peter got so excited, and he said, "Master, this is very good. Let's just stay up here." Then the two men disappeared, and do you know that they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And you know, the Bible says that at that time, Peter and James and John didn't tell anybody else about that experience. They kind of held that and treasured that in their heart. Maybe Peter was thinking about that when he went back to fishing. Maybe Peter was thinking about the time that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Maybe Peter was thinking about all the miracles that Jesus had done in the past and how great it was to be with Jesus when Jesus had performed all these miracles. Maybe Peter was thinking about the time when there was a storm and Jesus came to them walking on the water. And Jesus invited Peter. He said, "Peter, come to me." Peter just leaped out into the boat and out of the boat, and he was walking on the water as long as he had his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and he had to look at the storm and the wind and the waves, he started to sink. But then Jesus put his hand out to him, and Peter took his hand, and Jesus helped him across. Maybe Peter was thinking about how Jesus had been with him and helped him walk on the water. Or how about maybe Peter was thinking in his mind about the time that Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. This is found in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 41. And he asked Peter, James, and John to go with him and to wait and pray because Jesus' hour was near. When Jesus talked about his hour being near, he was talking about the time when he knew that he was going to have to go to the cross and bear the sins of the world. And the Bible says, Jesus was deeply distressed and troubled. And he asked these guys to watch and wait and pray for him. And they were here, and Jesus went on a little farther, and Jesus knelt down and he prayed and asked the Father if it would be possible if this cup could pass from him. And he agonized in prayer, and then he went back over to Peter, James, and John, and he looked at Peter, James, and John, and here they were. They had fallen asleep. They couldn't stay awake. Jesus said, "Oh, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And Jesus goes back, and Jesus prays again, and he's praying so fervently, he comes back again. He does that 3 times, and Peter, James, and John have fallen asleep. They couldn't stay awake. They couldn't stay awake to watch and pray with Jesus, and said, Jesus said, "Pray that you don't fall into temptation. Watch and pray." Maybe Peter was thinking about that. I don't know. Maybe his mind went on past that time just a little bit when shortly afterwards another disciple of Jesus, Judas, would find them in that same garden where they were. And Judas leads this detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees to Jesus. And they're coming after Jesus with this whole band and this whole army. And Peter just rises to Jesus' defense, and he takes his sword and he cuts off the servant's ear of the high priest. And he's going to defend Jesus. He's going to be there. And Jesus tells Peter to put his sword away. And he heals the servant's ear. And he tells Peter that he will drink the cup the Father has given him. Stories in Luke. And ultimately, in that same thing, that same story, Jesus was led away and taken into the house of the high priest. And Peter, he followed, but at a distance. And the Bible says in Luke 22 that the people came and they kindled a fire in the middle of a courtyard, and they sat down together, and Peter kind of sat down there with them, and a servant girl that was there, she kind of looked closely at Peter, and she said, "You know what? This man was with Jesus." And Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And a little time later, someone else came and saw Peter, and he said, "You also were with them, And Peter replies, "Man, I am not." And about another hour later, another person asserted and said, "Certainly this fellow was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean." And Peter replied hotly, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he did that, just as he said that, there was a rooster that crows. And Peter remembered that earlier he had told Jesus that he would go with them even to death. And Jesus had told Peter that Peter would disown him three times that day after a rooster crowed. And do you know, Peter went outside. Jesus looked straight at him after Peter said that across the courtyard. Peter looked at him and he realized, "Oh no, what have I done? What have I done? I have just disowned Jesus, this man that has done so many miracles, this man who has helped me walk on the water to him, this man who broke the loaves of the bread and the fish and multiplied them and gave them to thousands of people, this man that has healed my mother-in-law, this man that has commissioned us to go heal the sick and to cast out demons, this Jesus who I've been following all this time and who called me to follow him, this Jesus who I was so close to, this Jesus I just disowned three times." And Peter went out and he wept bitterly, it says, the Bible says. All right. So maybe Peter, all those thoughts had run through Peter's mind, and he didn't really know what to do or where to go from there. He knew that Jesus had appeared to them after his resurrection, and they were still so fearful, and Jesus came to them and said, "Peace," to calm their fears and to help them know that he was still with them, even though he was not that earthly king that they thought they were getting. He had a heavenly kingdom. And so Peter goes back. He goes back out fishing. And like I said, he was kind of a leader type among the disciples. And the other guys said, "Okay, we're going to go on with you. We're going to go fishing." And it's interesting because the boats, I almost had a picture of this, but we couldn't quite pull it off. It's interesting because they have found a first century fishing boat that was very similar to what Peter would have taken out. And this boat is on display in a museum over in the Middle East, and its length is about 26.5 feet, and its width is about 7.5 feet. So I'm not really good judging that, but I'm guessing it can't be that much more than this platform, maybe. I don't know. Who's good at knowing how many feet that is? But anyway, it says that this fishing boat only held about seven guys, okay, or less, because they couldn't fit any more than that in there. And what they would do is they usually worked in pairs, and they worked together, and they would have one boat over here, and they'd have another boat over there, and they had this fishing net in between them, and on one side of the fish there were these corks that would hold up the net, and on the other side of the net there were these metal, I don't know what the other word is I'm trying to say, but anyway, like a metal thing that would kind of hold the net down. So they would come up upon a school of fish. What? Oh, thank you. Thank you. You guys are helping me. Okay, so they would have this net in between these two boats, and they would go out and they would see a school of fish, and they would drop this net over the school of fish, and then one person would go out after they, and kind of, they would pull the net, and that would kind of get the fish all together, and then they would, in order to get the fish into the boat, they would kind of haul this net into their boat, or there would be like a swimmer who would go down, and he would kind of get the net together, and then help them get the fish into the boat. So anyway, they were working in these pairs, and they went out, and the best time to fish was real early in the morning, which is when these guys decided, "Hey, come on, let's just go out fishing, you know, we're you know, kind of unsettled, and Jesus is not here right now, and let's just go out fishing. Well, let's go do something familiar. Let's do something that we really, you know, remember how we do well, you know, what we do well." And so here they are out fishing, and they have just fished and fished and fished, and they just, the Bible says that that night, again, they caught nothing. And early in the morning, the Bible says, verse 4, that Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize Jesus. And this is similar to when Jesus appeared to Mary. Remember, outside the tomb, at first she didn't recognize Jesus. And Jesus, of course, maybe, I don't know, the Bible just said he had a glorified body, but it says at first they didn't recognize him. And then in verse 5, it says Jesus called out to the guys out there, and he said, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And they reply, "No, you know, they don't have any fish." And so Jesus tells them again, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And immediately, what do you think their minds thought? That very first time that Jesus called them to be disciples, and Jesus told them to cast their nets down, and their nets became so full of fish that they could not even hold the fish. The nets were breaking, and their boats were about to sink. And so I bet in their minds are thinking, all right, we know who this is now. We know who this is. We've heard this before. We know who this is. This is Jesus, the one who is able to provide an abundance of fish for us, an abundance of bread. And going back in their mind to when he broke the bread and the 5 loaves and 2 fish. So they put their nets down, and when they did, in verse 6, it says they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then in verse 7, it says the disciple whom Jesus loved, and all of us, we can assume this to be John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, and he jumps, you know, he jumps into the water, you know. And again, this is similar to when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and Peter gets so excited about it, and he jumps into the water. You know, Peter's just one of those that exuberant type persons that he's ready to go. You know, he's so excited about this fact that this is Jesus. Jesus is here once again. And the one of the commentaries that I was reading has said that, you know, the men in that time, that era, you know, wore these long robes. And so in order for him to jump in the water, he would have to kind of like take his robes, and they would like put it all in their, you know, tuck their robe up into their belt or whatnot, and so they could jump in and swim or walk or whatever quickly. And that's what Peter wanted to do. He wanted to get there. He wanted to get to Jesus. And it says in verse 8, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus already had their breakfast ready. And it's kind of interesting to know, because, you know, Jesus, it brings back some memories of some other miracles where, you know, the loaves and the fishes that Jesus provided for the people. And now here he was providing them with nourishment for their bodies as well. And Jesus tells them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." And in some of the commentaries too that I've read, talked about the fact that Jesus was asking them to bring the fish as symbolizing the fact that Jesus wanted them to continue to be fishers of men. Bring the fish, bring people to me. And even though he's got fish there, he tells Peter, "Come and bring me some of your fish." And so Simon Peter climbs aboard his boat, and he drags the net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. And it's interesting to note that some places that some people think that the 153 fish means that there were like a lot of different types of fish that they were able to catch at that particular catch, and representing the fact that Jesus wants all people to come to him. And so with this large catch of fish, 153, the net was not torn. And you know what's different about this story than the first time Jesus told them to put down their nets? Does anybody remember what happened to the nets the first time? They were breaking. Yeah, the nets were breaking the first time. And this time, it says that there were so many fish, but the net was not torn. And Jesus says to them, to the disciples, "Come and have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Lord, who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. They saw his miracles, and it triggered in their mind what other miracles he had already done for them. And so Jesus came, he took the bread, and he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time it says that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Then the story goes on a little bit to when they were finished eating, and Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And "Yes, Lord," he replies, "you know that I love you." And again it says Jesus asked him three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter responds, "You know that I do." And Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." And meaning take care of my sheep as in taking care of those that you have given him, the people that need to know Jesus. Take care of my sheep. And so Peter was hurt that third time. And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And, you know, other people said that another kind of a symbol in this passage is when Jesus had coals of fire already kindled and they were already, he already had breakfast ready for them. It was kind of a walk back in Peter's mind to that courtyard. Remember that courtyard where he was there and Jesus had been taken in by all these soldiers and under trial, and Jesus was following at a distance and he was warming himself by the fire. And people are saying, you know, "Peter, aren't you one of them?" And Peter denies Jesus. Now here's another fire, another coals, and Jesus is there again. And this time Jesus is breaking bread and giving them fish. And it's a time when it's like he's giving Peter another opportunity. Instead of disowning Jesus three times, Jesus is giving him another opportunity. Jesus is saying to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." For every time that Peter denied Jesus, Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" And he is giving, it's like he's giving Peter another opportunity to proclaim his love for him and another opportunity to follow Jesus by proclaiming the kingdom of God and by drawing all men, being a fisher of men, going out and tell other people about Jesus and allowing them a chance to come to Jesus just like Peter came to Jesus. And so Jesus says, "Feed my sheep, give him the gospel." And Jesus says in verse 18, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And this kind of symbolized the death that Jesus was telling Peter that he was going to die. Because when someone was crucified, they took their clothes. And he's saying, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, someone else is going to dress you and take you where you do not want to go. And this kind of symbolized the fact that Peter was going to die the same kind of death. He was going to be led to a cross. And he was ultimately going to follow Jesus in the same way and be crucified. And Jesus tells Peter, "Follow me." Again, "Follow me," in verse 19. And then Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, which again is the Bible tells us is John. And the one who had been with Jesus and leaned back against Jesus at the supper table, this is assuming the Last Supper, and said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" And when Peter saw this disciple, saw John, he said, "Well, Lord, what about him? Is he going to die the same way?" And Jesus says to Peter, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Sometimes we tend to get in other people's business, don't we? We want to know, okay, if Jesus wants me to do this, how come I can't do it? You know, if this person's doing that, how come I can't do it? All right? You know what? Does that sound familiar? But Peter and John, we're always kind of asking, okay, Lord, who's going to be the greatest? Is it you? Is it me? Is it him? Who's going to get to, you know? And here goes Peter again. There's a little friendly, you know, competition going on here. And Jesus is telling him, okay, no, none of that. None of that. We don't want any of that, okay? It's not about you, and it's not about John. I've asked you to follow me. Keep your eyes on me. I am the one that gives you life. I am the one that helps you know what to do. Okay, so you don't have to be in each other's business like that, all right? You don't have to go on about what somebody else is or is not doing, okay? All right, so, and Jesus says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? And so, here we go to the end. You know, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down, and we know that his testimony is true, and that's kind of referring to the author of the book of John. And people think some that other people wrote this last chapter, but we know that this testimony is true. And Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Coming to the end. And I guess the thing that I want us to take from this, or I'm hoping we can take from this today, is that Jesus restores us. And Jesus shows his love for all people. He desires that all people get to know him, that all people follow him. And that's represented so many times by, he wants, you know, the fishing metaphor, where he wants those fish. He wants people to, or Peter, to bring the fish to him. He wants them to go fishing and be fishers of men, and he's commissioned them. And as a church, that's what we need to be about too. But I think also it's a time when Jesus is restoring Peter, because he has great interest in Peter. And Peter has had his ups and downs in following Jesus and denying Jesus and also doing all these things. But you know, he makes Peter realize that when he decided to go out fishing on his own, that he couldn't quite do as well as he could when Jesus was there, when Jesus was able to bless him, when he listened to Jesus and brought to Peter's mind, maybe up on that mountaintop where God had said, "This is my son, listen to him. Do what he says, listen to Jesus." And for us, that's what we need to do. Maybe we've seen Jesus do a lot of really neat things in our life. Maybe we've seen Jesus do a lot of neat things in somebody else's life. Maybe we've had some real ups. Maybe we've had some real downs. Maybe we've had times of real doubt about who Jesus is and whether or not he really can make a difference in our lives. And do you know what? That's the same way it was with Peter. And I think that when Peter just decided to go back and go to fishing, he went back to something that was really familiar to him. And a lot of times when we don't really know what to do, we sometimes go back to what's familiar to us. What is it that you've done in the past that you're really comfortable with doing? And that could be something good or it could be something bad. It can be either way. You know, Peter went back to fishing, you know. He went back to doing what he knew best. And maybe we do the same thing. Maybe we go back to doing something that we know how to do best. And Jesus called Peter again. He went to the disciples and he called them and he restored Peter and he commissioned Peter to follow him and to feed his sheep, to spread the gospel. And that's what Jesus does to us. He calls us. He calls every one of us. He wants us to follow him. And he wants us to do the same. He wants us to spread the gospel, the good news that people can be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And I hope that message this morning really allows us to remember Jesus' words to all of us to follow him. And this morning, I don't know if everyone's a follower of Jesus or not, but if you're not a follower of Jesus, I would invite you to be a follower of Jesus and to see what a difference he can make in your life. Just like he made a difference in the lives of the disciples and Peter, and when they went fishing and they had an overabundance of fish because Jesus was there and they listened to him saying, "Throw your nets over." And even though they didn't know that they were going to get any fish, they did it anyway, just because Jesus said so. And that's what we need to do. We need to follow because Jesus says something. We need to follow him and do what he says. I would invite you to stand with me and I would invite Danny and, excuse me, Brother Eddie to come and to go ahead and sing for us, "The Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." And we're not going to serve communion this morning, but I would just like for us to allow a moment for us to reflect on the words that Jesus had for us this morning, and know that in our lives, I hope that we will listen to him when he says to follow, and to be able to know that he has an overabundance of life for each one of us that's readily available. And if anybody wants to pray, you're always welcome to come and pray this morning. Okay? All right.